Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh. Sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Katie Dumbia. Katie is a 38-year-old French-Ivorian businesswoman. Following her master's in human resources, she started her career in France in recruitment and then moved to London to start her own business in 2007. She is the founder of King Stage, a recruitment company in London, and serves as the managing director. She set up King Stage in order to help the young generation to start their career by giving them advice about their career management. She also helps people from the EU to find their first job in the UK, France, and Spain. Her keen interest in building business relations between the UK and Africa led her to open the Côte d'Ivoire Chamber of Commerce in Great Britain in October 2015. She is now the president of CICCGB. The choice of setting the first African Chamber of Commerce in the UK is to give the opportunity to the business world to discover Africa as the next step. She believes that the Chamber can facilitate business relations between Côte d'Ivoire and the UK. Therefore, she has created a platform for entrepreneurs to help them develop their business and also to help Côte d'Ivoire as an emerging country to reach their goal ambition of 2020. Katie, thank you so much for being willing to be interviewed. It's a joy to interview you. You've got a fascinating life, a French Ivorian. How does that work? Where were you born? Were you born in Côte d'Ivoire, or aka the Ivory Coast, or were you born in France?
I'm born in Côte d'Ivoire. Mm-hmm. And I've moved to France at the age of 5.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And then I spent the rest of my life in France until I've decided to come and start a new challenge in London. Now almost 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're coming up for 10 years ago, isn't it? If it was 2007, my gosh. So have you lived in Africa for any time since 5, or?
Not at all.
Wow.
And since the age of 5, I've just decided to go to Côte d'Ivoire only 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I had this feeling that I need to go and see the country and know more about the country. It was mainly to discover my roots, if you can say.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. Sometimes surprising, because I feel like being in another planet, really.
Really? Oh my gosh.
When I had this sensation when I was in Africa, it was just fantastic. However, when I came back to Europe, because we don't have a direct flight from Côte d'Ivoire to the UK, unfortunately, and I hope that this is something that the embassy or the government, even the British airlines company, will maybe work on this, because it will be very beneficial for Ivorian community here in the UK. We have a big community here, and but unfortunately now we still need to go to France.
Right.
So we have to take the plane from London to Paris Airport, and then from Paris to Abidjan.
Right.
From Abidjan to, when I've just landed to Paris from Abidjan, then I realized that it was a complete different world, really, another planet.
So was it a bit of a culture shock? Even though you are Ivorian, it was a culture shock.
It was a complete culture shock.
Did you remember any part of Côte d'Ivoire in your first 5 years, or had you just forgotten
at
it
all? At all, nothing. Because, you know, at the age of 4 or 5, then it was very difficult for me to remember the places.
Yeah.
But then when I've arrived the first day, I felt that I've just came back home. Of course, I'm a European lady, but I'm also African, so it came just naturally.
Yeah.
And I feel comfortable very quickly, and I find, you know, my space. It was a little bit difficult from the start because I don't have the same accent.
Yes. Oh my God, of course. Well, yes, why would you? I mean, you've got a French accent as opposed to an Ivorian French accent.
That's right. So they've just to find out, and the funny thing that they just saw that I'm from abroad. So,
right.
A European lady. So it was a little bit difficult for me because the everything was kind of double when I wanted to buy something.
Okay. Yeah.
Then this lasts just a week. So I find a way to fit in the environment.
Yep. It's just interesting. So even though you are Ivorian, you were actually a foreigner when you went back.
That's right.
How interesting.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's interesting what you say that, yes, you are European, you've been in Europe and France since the age of 4 or 5, and you're African. So what that brought up for me was a really interesting thing about nature and nurture. You know, which is the most powerful? You know, is it, you know, if you think nature, because you are an African woman, you may have spent from the age of 5 all your upbringing and your life in Europe.
Yes.
But what is the most powerful thing within us? You know, is it how we're brought up, or is it actually who we really are at our core? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you said, you know, you at the heart of it, you are African.
Yes. Yes. I think we are, I would say, people like me, I like to call them hybrid people. And the most interesting part in this is the fact that we are able to use the positive of both sides.
Yeah.
And this is the way I like to use both. And I can see that with the team of the chamber, when it comes to managing situation, sometimes they're very surprised because they're expecting me to react like a European lady sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I react as an African woman.
Right.
Because they're bringing this African way of working or of management.
Right.
So they're very surprised. And it happened also in the other way. So I'm just trying to, and they just asking me, okay, I wasn't expecting this attitude or reaction. And I'm just telling them that I have the chance to have both. I'm not rejecting any of the two sides. I'm taking them both and using it as a strength. And I think this is the best, I believe that this is the best way of using it. And of course, we are, it's not even the nature, we are human being has a nature, but it's a matter of culture.
Yes.
Because we have both, and yes. I have both, and I'm using both in the very positive way.
Well, how fantastic, because you're kind of flying the flag, aren't you, for both continents?
That's
for European way of doing business. And how different are the two cultures in business? So you say, you know, you either behave like a European or like an African in business. What are the key differences that set them apart in style?
I think the main difference is related to methods.
Right.
We have a different way of... I can't say that the business culture is different. I think it's about the methods and the organization.
Okay.
I'm quite positive. It's different. And when I say I'm quite positive, my first goal was mainly to find the right balance and trying to match both business culture. But I finally found out that there's no need of changing anything. It's about adapting ourselves to the right. Other side.
Right.
However, I believe that you need a bit of adjustment in order for both sides to work together, because I strongly believe that both sides can work together and benefit from each side. Because in Europe here we are very developed. Development is good, however we are facing some limits now. I would say that Africa has another way of seeing maybe development. Of course, they all have a vision of European development. But I strongly believe that starting with a new era of development by using natural resources and natural way, starting this development with Africa instead of implementing the same system that we have here in Europe can be one example that could be implemented here, because our system here, we can start seeing the limit of our development.
Okay.
And I think that maybe using Africa as an example of a different type of development might help also Europe and the other continent.
Interesting. So is it about how we utilize our natural resources?
I think so.
Okay. Interesting. I a few years ago, a woman said to me, an African woman said to me, if you mobilize and empower the women of Africa, you change the world.
Yes, it is. It's true. This is true. And I think except apart from the resources, I believe that we are facing a very big challenge nowadays regarding environment, about our planet. And of course, most of the other emerging countries are looking at the most developed countries, and they're looking for the same type of development. Going back to the challenges that we're facing right now about environment, I believe that if all the country has the same development as we have now, it could be very, you know, dramatic for the planet itself.
I mean, Africa is such a complex continent, isn't it?
And
there's such diversity, you know, from North Africa, which is more Middle Eastern than African. Right down to the south, and you know, the east coast and the west coast, and you have Central Africa, and you know, the climate is different, the natural resources are different, the languages are different. I mean, it's a huge continent which has such an impact, I believe, on the world and how we do things. It's an interesting dilemma from my, you know, my point of view. I see a lot of, you know, every year we have something called Children in Need, where there's a lot of money raised for children around the world, but predominantly in Africa. And there was World Band Aid, you know, with Bob Geldof back in the 80s, who did, you know, with people starving in Africa. And I can remember 50, 50, 2 years ago, I'm just remembering how old I was, when I was five, you know, around about 5 years old, you know, I can remember sitting at the dinner table with my mum and dad and not liking my vegetables and trying to, you know, move them on the plate so I didn't have to eat them. And I can remember my parents saying to me, eat all your food because there are children in Africa who are starving.
Okay.
That was 52 years ago, and there are still children in Africa who are starving. So why have we not learnt anything in those five decades? And I suppose what's going through my mind is all is the Western attitude for tackling Africa's problems. For me, from my very pedestrian, uninformed view, is we are getting it completely wrong. It's like, you know, throwing money at Africa is not the answer.
Right.
It's about empowering the people in Africa to be able to support themselves. And that's nothing to do with throwing, because there is a lot of corruption.
Yes. Okay.
So, you know, the money that the West throws probably a lot of the time doesn't actually get to the people who need it. So, you know, it's a hugely complex continent with its own issues within Africa, of course. You know, there are countries that fight each other within the continent.
Yes.
I mean, what do you have a view of how you tackle such a huge continent and such diversity within it to get it to be as inclusive as it possibly can be, and to teach the world the lessons that the world needs to hear?
Right. I think the world already know what is happening right now. As a human being, we tend, I think, to sometimes ignore the problem until it comes back in the very, I would say, strong and maybe negative way.
Okay.
In the meantime, we tend naturally to ignore the problem. But I believe that there's a type of hypocrisy, we say, about what is going on around us. We all know what's happening. Some people, by chance, are working hard to make the changes and hope that the change will come. Concerning Africa, I strongly believe that Africans need to do the job. I don't think that the problem of Africa, I'm not saying that, I'm not talking about all the African countries, but talking about all the resources that this continent has. Hearing what every leaders that I'm meeting are saying about the resources and the opportunities that Africa has, and hearing also that Africa is one of the richest continent in terms of resources,
right.
I really don't understand why some country without less resources has to feed Africa and African.
It's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I think there's a different problems around going on. Of course, they can be solved. I can hear different point of views, but the only thing that I can say now, every time I'm meeting Africans or other leaders from other continent, they just like to talk about all the problems that Africa is facing. We all know where are the problems. So there's no point of going back to the problem. But now what I'm looking for with the Jamboree is to meet people who bring solutions. I'm happy and ready to hear solutions, because we all know where are the problems.
Yeah.
We know what is the situation.
Yeah.
And we know what is going on. So what can we do now to change the
situation? And that's, I think you've just really, I don't know if you've heard the phrase, hit the nail on the head. But, you know, kind of got to the point. It's an English phrase, which means you've actually got to the point. You've hit the nail on the head. You know, and for me, it's, you know, when I'm working with people, when I'm coaching people, I always say to them, you will get what you focus on.
Sure.
So if you're only focusing on the problems, guess what? You'll get more problems.
Of course.
So try focusing on the solutions.
That's right.
Because you'll get more of those.
Of course.
So, you know, from an external view of kind of looking in of what the West tries to do, is that it focuses a lot on Africa's problems. What it doesn't do is focus on Africa's solutions.
That's right.
So it's really interesting that you've said that. So it's great that that is what you are wanting to achieve with the Côte d'Ivoire right. Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about where that drive and that passion came from to start the chamber.
Right. I think the chamber I'm has a French national with my company. We are a member of the French Chamber of Commerce. Last year, I've been contacted by Ivorian community asking me to help them for the election of the president of the Ivorian diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Then the election happened at the embassy. After the election, they came and asked me to organize a forum about investment in Africa. So I've told them that I have a family life and I have a business to run. So if I work on the project, I need to be sure that the projects go ahead and we get the results. The result about the input in terms of quantity of work. So they've just told me, no, you don't have to worry, Katie. If this work fine, what we properly, we will do this project every year. And I told them this is not the issue, because I know that there's a lot of forums and conferences from African communities, but what are you doing with the data, with the result? So they just answer again, no, we will do it every year. No, I know that, but all the informations, projects, investment, who is working on this? And I said, okay, I'm happy to work on the project. If you agree, if we work with the Chamber of Africa, the Ivorian Chamber of Commerce, in collaboration and in partnership with the Côte d'Ivoire Chamber of Commerce, for a European lady like me, it was obvious that Africa or Côte d'Ivoire has a Chamber of Commerce. Then they say, but there's no Chamber of Commerce. Oh, and I say, okay, so there's no Chamber of Commerce. So how do you organize your businesses and, you know, trade? And they couldn't answer. So I told them, okay, I'm happy to work on the project of the forums, investment forum, if we agreed that at the same time I can set up the Chamber of Commerce, because I believe that we need to use the data, the information, the investment project, all the motivation around the forums. Then we agreed, okay, KD, no problem, we'll do that and we'll help you to set up the chamber. And then I've decided to contact the chamber in Côte d'Ivoire to know more about how we can set up the chamber. And of course, they informed me that the chamber never had a foreign chamber abroad. So I've told them that there is to time now, because the world is changing. And it's a big opportunity to Côte d'Ivoire, because they have the ambition of becoming an emerging or developed country in Africa. So one of the steps is to have a chamber at outside, and this will help to, I would say, gather all the information regarding investment in Africa and in Côte d'Ivoire first. So they agree, and this is where the adventure started.
Yeah. Oh boy, and hasn't it been an adventure? I mean, I am privy to knowing some of that adventure, because we have met and chatted many times before this interview. I mean, what was the reaction of you as a woman wanting to do this, as opposed to a man approaching them with this idea? Was there a difference to their reaction, do you think?
I don't think that they were a problem. No, I didn't find any problem regarding the fact that it wasn't a man approaching them. One of the main concerns that I had with the chamber is mainly about ethnicity.
Right.
Because this is one of the conflicts that happened in Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh.
I felt like it was one of the main issues. Your name tells where you're coming from.
Right.
And
so your history and your background and everything about your family, people know
right.
by your name.
By the name.
Right.
So as a European lady also, I know that this type of segregation cannot be and shouldn't happen, and especially in the business, really, because however, that's what I felt. My chance now is going fine, and I hope that it will keep being positive, but that was the main that I felt, the main issue concerning the fact that I'm a woman. I don't see it, like, I don't feel it really, because at the same time, because they're seeing me as a European lady,
uh-huh.
a woman, right. and they know that we European women, they are very independent. So it's normal that we want to do business. And I think that helped also a lot.
Okay,
about
interesting.
The fact that I'm, yes.
Interesting. So what's your vision for the chamber? What would you like it to achieve?
Right, concerning the chamber, my dream and my vision, I would like to have, if I can compare, I would like in 2 or 5 years maximum having a very successful organization.
Mm-hmm.
I would like the chambers to reach the target of the French Chamber of Commerce in mm-hmm. the UK. This is the target. I find them very competitive
mm-hmm.
as a chamber. I'm not talking about the British Chamber or the London Chamber, because they are the national chambers, but compared to the other foreign chamber, I would like to be one of the main central points when it comes to investment in Côte d'Ivoire, as mm-hmm. well in West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Having a chamber with the same level of quality in terms of service for entrepreneurs and businesses. That's the main goal at this stage. And obviously, I believe that this will impact different segments of the country needs.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Africa, I believe that one of the solutions, I say one of the solution because there's a couple of work that needs to be done. It's mainly related to education.
Oh, right.
Education is really important because it helps people to have the right method. It helps to change mentalities. It helps to build confidence. It helps for trust.
Mm-hmm.
It helps also to move forward. And one of my goal is to be able to train younger generation women leaders, because I believe that they can help for the development of the country and even for the continent. And the second goal that I have is to be able to reach and speak to the government. One of the solutions that I believe, because as I said before, I like to talk about solutions now.
Yeah.
it's about the minimum living for families. We have this system here in Europe. Of course, I do understand that we have to, Africa has to start with a small step, but that could be a huge step for the continent itself, mm-hmm. is to be able to guarantee a minimum monthly for families in terms of income,
right.
At least to, you know, help them to reach the minimum need.
Uh-huh.
We all know the Maslow needs.
Yeah, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
That's
yeah.
right. And I think that in Africa, we need to meet the first need, which is food.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty fundamental, isn't it?
It is.
To our emotional and physical well-being.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
food and water. Yeah.
Food and water.
Yeah.
So one of the goal that I have, if with the chamber, if I have the opportunity to work more with the government, is to put in place a minimum living wages for families.
Right.
This will help also to reduce corruption. It's one of the solutions for corruption. Because I can hear pretty much from everywhere that the corruption is very difficult in all the government, not the proper government itself, but administrations, with the police or, you know. And I feel like if the population can see where the government is going and they can also benefit from this money, it will be much more easier to tell to one of the government agents that, okay, you're doing this corruption, this is not good, because they know that this money is shared equally. And I believe that this could be one of the solutions. So two goals for the short period, I would say 5 years, 2 to 5 years, from now to 5 years, is the training, education,
mm-hmm.
and the second one is to see if we can work with the government to implement this minimum living wage for families.
Well, I mean, that, they are amazing goals to have.
<Thank you. laughs>
Well, what's my goal? My goal is to lose a couple of stone by the end of the year. To my, you know, I'm thinking of what, when I ask my coaching clients these questions, oh, my goal is to increase my turnover by X. My goal is to get fit. No, your goal is to change a country. That's cool, Ken. That's cool. But I tell you, if any woman could do it, you can.
Thank you.
Because you are so focused. And driven, you have a really clear vision and mission, don't you?
Yes.
And you know, when I work with clients, is to say to them, if you know your why, the how will look after itself. And what most people will do will make the mistake, they will concentrate on the how and they'll forget the why.
Right.
Whereas your why is so clear.
It is now.
The how will just kind of happen.
I hope.
It's about the energy that we give off, isn't it? So if we're giving off this energy, what I witness tends to happen, for myself as well as the clients I work with, is that we end up attracting the right people into our lives that support our vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Going back to the vision, and it wasn't that clear from the start. I have to work a lot and also learn
mm-hmm.
a lot as well. The first idea was to implement the same system that we have here in Africa.
Right.
But as you can see now, it has been changed a little bit because of the problem, the issues that we are facing right now, global issues, I would say, economical, environment. So I have to adapt myself, but it wasn't really adapting because of the issues only, but because that I realized that this is how to say that? This is the situation, this is the environment, and it cannot work like this. I have to adapt the plan a little bit to be sure that this will work.
Okay.
So I hope we'll succeed. I know that it's a lot of work. I'm not, how to say this, I don't have the control of everything because, you know, it's the whole system and there's the interaction with other people. I have a faith and I have a faith in God also. So I hope that this will come to reality.
Well, I think if we, and it, that word I'm going to pick up on there is the word faith. And it's really interesting because that's one thing that we cannot challenge in somebody else.
Yes.
Is their faith. And it doesn't have to be a religious faith.
Yes.
It could be faith of an idea.
Yes.
But if somebody has a really strong faith that they hold strongly within their core being, you actually can't shake that. It's so strong.
It's
what gets us through so much, isn't it? Is our faith in another way of being and another way of living.
Yes.
And faith in what we know that we can achieve, or faith of what's out there. And it can be a religious faith, or it can just be an environmental faith, or you know, an emotional faith. But that word faith will get us as human beings to achieve so much more than we could without it.
It's true.
It's a driving force, I think, in humanity is faith.
It's true.
Is faith in something better.
Yes, it's true.
And that belief, yeah, which is incredibly powerful. So you're only 38, which is, I'm just trying to think what I was doing at your age. It wasn't tackling the country, that was for sure. I was working in the city at the age of 38, kind of in my own way, making changes. But and what I find really fascinating is I interview women from all over the world, is Western, as a Western woman, we can tend to be, complacent is a strong word. I probably don't mean anything as strong as complacent, but relatively speaking, if I compare myself as a Western woman to women from other parts of the world, I have an incredibly easy life.
Yes, okay.
An incredibly easy life. Doesn't mean to say I have a life without struggle and without angst and without challenges, whether they're physical or emotional or whatever.
Yes.
But in comparison to a lot of women on the planet today, this second, I'm unbelievably privileged.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder if that has softened my edges to a degree, that because I work with a lot of women in the Middle East and in India, starting to work with women in Africa, is that I see in them a fire in their belly that I don't always see in Western women.
All right, okay.
I probably will have seen it in Western women 100 years ago. Maybe even 50, 60 years ago. You know, I think of what my mother went through in one generation, how my life is so different to my mother's life.
Right.
That maybe we had that fire in our belly. If you, you know, you think of the suffragettes in the early 1900s who were fighting to get women the vote. They had that fire in their belly.
Yes.
But now I don't think we have it to the same degree. But I see it in other women from different parts of the world. And even though you are, to all intents and purposes, a Western woman, because you are educated and brought up in France, what I see when I'm with you, Caddy, is that African fire in your belly. And it hasn't left you.
Right, good.
So that core of being an African woman, even though the majority of your life is as a Western woman, it doesn't take you away from the core of who you are. Which is that woman with the fire in her belly.
Right. Okay.
And nothing is going to stop you achieving what you want to achieve.
I
know that with every cell of my being. I'm just going to hang on to your coattails and and come along for the ride. where you want to take the chamber, what you want to do is so incredibly exciting. And from my perspective, I just feel really privileged that I'm a part of it and can travel that journey with you.
Thank you. It's an honor for me too.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And when you think, you know, the team that the four of us are, in helping you take forward the training for Ivorians coming up to London, there's only one man and there's three women. How fantastic is that?
It is. But I going back to the faith, I do have the faith. I also have a hope. The hope is stronger than the faith. I mean, when I say it's stronger, it's because the hope, because there's a lot of element without my control.
Sure.
Different actors.
Yes.
However,
yes.
the faith ensure me.
Yeah.
Thing will go very well.
They will.
And smoothly.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you, Caddy. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
So you've been listening to Katie Day and Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.